Somebody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb allowances, finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this Parmesan with my...
Hello, Gamecock Nation. This is Buck with TheRubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to the 2017 Gamecock Flashback. In case you haven't been following along, I have been recapping every Gamecock football season since 1987, which was my freshman year in college. And I think we said we weren't going to talk about how old I am. So this is actually 30 years of recaps with the 2017 football season. So congratulations to us for hitting that milestone. Congratulations to all of you who have listened to all of these, and we really do appreciate it. So let's jump right in. 2017 was Will Muschamp's second year, coming off of a 6-7 campaign, ended with a bad win against Western Carolina, a horrible loss to Clemson, and then a thrilling overtime loss to South Florida in the Birmingham Bowl. There were a lot of ups and downs, but there were certainly some encouraging signs with such a young team that we had at the time. In the offseason after the 2016 season, Brandon McIlwain, our freshman quarterback, decided to transfer out. Something I didn't get into a lot of detail about in the 2016 review was the quarterback situation. You know, there was a lot of drama surrounding McIlwain coming out of high school. He originally committed to Steve Spurrier on New Year's Eve of 2014. But there were questions about him possibly passing on football completely because he was almost assuredly going to be a high draft pick in the Major League Draft. He then recommitted in December of 2015 after the terrible Gamecock football season and all the Steve Spurrier retirement drama, and told us in December of 2015 he had decided to stick by his commitment and go play both football and baseball at USC. Meanwhile, in March of 2016, the Gamecocks received another quarterback commitment in Jake Bentley, as you all know, the son of Gamecock assistant Bobby Bentley. Then about 2 weeks later, Jake announced that he was graduating early. Not graduating early and going to join the team in January. He was actually going to skip his senior year of high school. Thus, in the 2016 season, all the jokes came about, you know, Jake Bentley should be a senior in high school right now, over and over and over again. So he did join the Gamecocks in the summer of 2016, which is a very rare thing to happen. Now, I think at this point everyone still had pegged Brandon McIlwain as the quarterback of the future for USC, but having Bentley certainly helped from a depth and competition standpoint. And then you guys all know the story from that point. McIlwain really never made an impact on the baseball field, despite, and I only vaguely remember this, I think he had a 2-home-run scrimmage that got everyone excited about him in baseball, but he never got more than some pinch running assignments and maybe some a couple of at-bats, but never made an impact in baseball. And then, of course, we know what happened on the football field. He never really played enough to wrestle the job away from Perry Orth. And then both McIlwain and Orth gave way to Bentley midway through the 2016 season. And thus, McIlwain decided to transfer to Cal Berkeley, where as of this recording, which is about a week before the beginning of the 2018 football season, he is battling for the starting job there. So now that I've backtracked and given a little context behind our quarterback situation, let's move on to the 2017 football season. We had an opening game against NC State on a Saturday, which was the first game on a Saturday, first game on a Saturday since East Carolina in 2011, and only the third Saturday opener for the Gamecocks since 2005 when Steve Spurrier took over. Spurrier sure did love that Thursday opening game. And the opponent this year was nothing to sneeze at. This edition of the Wolfpack wound up having 7 players drafted, which was a school record for them. And it included 5th overall pick Bradley Chubb, a defensive end. So the game started off well for South Carolina, even though I missed it. That's right. I was in my seat, ready to go. And I had actually recently switched over to a streaming service, DirecTV Now. And the game prior to the NC State-South Carolina game ran a little bit long, and I think the game started on ESPN News, and I was fumbling around trying to find the game. And when I finally did find it, they had just cut to the crowd going crazy, and it took a minute for me to realize it was South Carolina fans going crazy, and then I saw celebrating in the end zone. So even though I missed it, I didn't feel too bad about it because South Carolina had scored a touchdown. Debo had gone 99 or 100 yards on the opening kickoff of the season, which was a great start. After that, it was really a back-and-forth game. Our offense was okay in fits and starts, but we really did have a tough time stopping NC State. Wolfpack quarterback Ryan Finley had 415 yards passing. They added another 89 yards on the ground. Really not what you typically expect from a Will Muschamp defense, giving up more than 500 yards. But fortunately, NC State didn't score a lot of points. The game was tied at 21 at the half. And the Gamecocks took the lead on perhaps the play of the year from 2017 when from the Wolfpack 39-yard line, Jake Bentley made a nifty move to avoid pressure, then rolled to his right and threw a dime to Debo, who pulled it in with one hand for a 28-21 lead. We would extend the lead to 35-21 after Dante Sawyer stripped Finley, and then Rico Dowdle scored a short time later on a short run. But we had three or four opportunities to run clock and put the game away, but the offense either bogged down or turned the ball over. NC State scored again, then got the ball back late with a chance to win the game. But DJ Smith knocked down a fourth down pass to seal the win 35-28, and we had a really nice win over a quality opponent to start the year. The next week, we had our first SEC game of the year. We would play the Missouri Tigers. And honestly, who knew what to expect from this game? You know, we played relatively well against NC State. The offense was pretty good. The defense was not good. Meanwhile, Missouri, who had had a pretty bad 2016 season, they had an all-SEC candidate in quarterback Drew Locke. And they had beaten Missouri State the previous week 72-43. Now, what could you really take from that? A lot of Gamecock fans were like, surely our defense will be much better than Missouri State, and our offense will be just as good, so this should be an easy win. I was personally really, really nervous, which, to be honest, isn't out of the ordinary for any South Carolina game. But my fears were somewhat confirmed when the Tigers jumped out to a 10-0 lead and we didn't score in the first quarter against this team that had given up 43 points to Missouri State. But do not fear when you have a healthy Debo Samuel on your team. For the second week in a row, he returned a kickoff for a touchdown. That was after the Tigers had scored a TD for that 10-0 lead. And then on consecutive plays, freshman Jamias Williamson intercepted a Drew Locke pass. And then Debo took a jet sweep to the house, and just like that, it was 14-10 Gamecocks. From there, the USC defense pretty much shut down Mizzou the rest of the way, intercepted Locke twice, and the Gamecocks cruised to a comfortable 31-13 victory. Debo and Hayden Hurst each had two touchdowns in that game, including a two-yard run from Hurst on a bruising jet sweep on a third and goal. Just a great, great run. When he was in the middle of it, all Gamecock fans were screaming, "What are we doing?" And he just powered his way in and powered his way to becoming a first-round draft pick of the Baltimore Ravens. So here we are, 2-0, feeling pretty good about ourselves. We looked at how the schedule set up and started thinking maybe this could be, you know, a really special season. So Kentucky was next up at home. USC was looking to break a three-game losing streak to the Wildcats, and this game was circled on the schedule for a long time because there's no way we should have any kind of a losing streak to Kentucky. We even announced before the season that the first home game, this one, would be a blackout. I personally hate these themed games, blackouts, special uniforms, new helmets. I'm just not a fan. And that's mainly because I'm neurotic. So Other folks get excited about it. Things never seem to go well for us when we do things like that. Just go about your business and win football games, and I'll be just fine. But anyway, I digress. The game at home against Kentucky was very well attended. The crowd was loud. The blackout looked good on TV, and the game got off to a great start with Jake Bentley hitting Debo on a 68-yard touchdown on the very first play from scrimmage. His fifth touchdown in the first nine quarters of the season. And at that moment, it felt like we were going to really lay one on Kentucky. However, we proceeded to blow chance after chance in this game. Kentucky turned the ball over on their first two possessions, which resulted in a missed field goal and an interception for us. We couldn't convert a fourth down near midfield. We couldn't convert a fourth down and goal from the two. We missed two field goals. We had trouble getting off the field on third down. It was an ugly, ugly football game and left me with one of the most deflated feelings I've ever had after a Gamecock game. Gamecocks lost that one 23-13. And another reason I felt so bad after the game, adding injury to insult, is Debo Samuel went down with what looked like an ankle injury in the third quarter of the game. But after the game, it was announced that he had fractured his fibula and would be out for the season. And that was just gross for everybody on the Gamecock side. But we had to move on, and Louisiana Tech was coming to town. We had to pick ourselves up and get well against this Louisiana Tech team. This is a team that had been beaten by Mississippi State the previous week, 57-21. We really needed a good showing to get rid of the taste in our mouth from the Kentucky game. And we trailed Louisiana Tech 6-0 at halftime. That's right, a team that gave up 57 points the previous week had shut us out at home at halftime. It was at this point where I felt like not only the season was going in the crapper, but what the hell were we thinking hiring Will Muschamp? This was looking like a disaster. But Louisiana Tech even extended the lead. They were up 13-0 and had the ball inside the Gamecock 10-yard line late in the third quarter with a chance to put the game away. You know, you look back at this, I just somehow... compartmentalized, put this game out of my mind, but unbelievable how close we came to losing this game or letting this game get away with us. But when Louisiana Tech had that ball inside the 10-yard, Jamarcus King came up with a huge interception on a terrible decision by their quarterback. After that, the Gamecocks fought back to take a 14-13 lead after one touchdown pass to Ortre Smith, his second in two games, and a long TD run by Tyson Williams with just under 5 minutes to go. But it wasn't over yet. Louisiana Tech hit a long pass and kicked a field goal to retake the lead, 16-14 with only 55 seconds left in the game. So with that little time left and with a field goal kicker who was 0 for his career, including 0 for the day, I was already starting to formulate responses to the comments and questions I was going to get at work on Monday. But miraculously, and I do mean miraculously, Jake Bentley scrambled for 24 yards on third down from our own 21-yard line, then hit what amounted to a 41-yard Hail Mary to Brian Edwards to get USC into field goal position. Then Parker White, who I had dubbed Parker Wide up until this point, God bless him, finally made a field goal, and the Gamecocks escaped with a 17-16 win instead of what would have been a crushing and embarrassing loss. So, after getting away with that, USC went to College Station, Texas, to face their cross-divisional opponent, Texas A&M. Texas A&M was 3-1 at this point, with their lone loss coming to UCLA in their opener. And it was one of the more remarkable games of the 2017 season. Texas A&M led UCLA 44-10, but gave up 35 straight points to the Bruins and lost that game 45-44. After that game, they picked themselves up and won three straight that included an overtime win over Arkansas. The Gamecocks played well in this one for three quarters, taking a 17-10 lead into the fourth quarter, but couldn't hold on, giving up a pair of Keith Ford touchdowns to fall 24 to What was the final score? 24-17, and dropped to 3-2 on the season. Jake Bentley had a pretty good game, going 17 for 30 for 256 yards and a pair of touchdowns, one each to Shy and or Trey Smith. But he had no chance against the Aggie defense in the fourth quarter. He was sacked four times in the fourth quarter alone and seven times in the game. Actually, at the very end of the game when he had the ball, or when we had the ball, he scrambled and took a hit and got up and was really wobbly. And I really wish somebody had seen that and taken him out of the game. But he was probably concussed, but there were only a couple of plays left after that. And it was a really disappointing loss after having a chance to get our first win over Texas A&M since joining the conference, but it was not to be. After that, the Gamecocks would reel off three straight conference wins, starting with a 48-22 win over Arkansas, in which the defense scored three times. That was probably the best performance of the season and was followed by a 15-9 win in Knoxville that may have been our worst performance in a win. We were down 9-3 at the half to the Vols, but scrapped our way to the 15-9 lead, which included a botched extra point. And we needed a goal line stand at the very end of the game to escape with the win. Of note from those two games, Arkansas and Tennessee, tight end Casey Crosby was lost for the season with a fractured fibula against Arkansas. And then the Gamecocks' leading rusher from 2016, Rico Dowdle, was lost for the rest of the regular season when he fractured his fibula against Tennessee. So that was also the injury that Debo Samuel had against Kentucky. So the fractured fibula was the injury du jour for South Carolina in 2017. The Gamecocks then took out Vanderbilt in a game that was probably a lot closer than it should have been, 34-27. Honestly, I really don't remember much about this game, but Jake Bentley did have a couple of rushing touchdowns and one passing touchdown to Shy Smith, while the defense got torched by Vandy's Kyle Shermer, who threw for 333 yards and four touchdowns. And remarkably, we still walked away with the win and went into November in contention for the SEC title at 4-2. And the problem with being in contention for the SEC East is we had to go to East leading and undefeated Georgia the following week. The Gamecocks really stayed within striking distance into the fourth quarter, but by this time in the season, it was pretty obvious the offense just wasn't going to be able to get it done against a quality defense like Georgia's. High point of the game was a highlight reel catch by Brian Edwards for the Gamecocks' only touchdown. But by the end of the day, the Bulldogs had clinched a spot in the SEC title game and would go on to win the SEC championship and then turn around and lose a heartbreaker to Alabama in the national championship game. Bummer. And if you know how I feel about Georgia, you know that's sarcasm. So, Florida was next. With a shot at the SEC East title gone, the Gamecocks could still finish with a winning record in conference for only the eighth time in 26 seasons and finish second in the division with a win over Florida. The game against the struggling Gators was just a weird one, with the Gamecocks jumping out to a 14-0 lead but unable to put the game away because of three Jake Bentley interceptions and four turnovers altogether. But we were able to hang on for the win and move to 7-3 on the season. Next, we got to play Wofford. Ugh, please stop scheduling Wofford or anybody who runs a wing T or triple option type of offense. Of course, they're a triple option FCS team, and of course they gave us fits. Thankfully, I was personally at camp with my son that particular weekend and didn't get to watch this game. The Gamecocks pulled away late to win 31-10 and moved to 8-3 on the season, but it was a slog. And that game set up the season-ending showdown with Clemson. And I really think there was a lot of confidence among Gamecock faithful going into the Clemson game. But when you look back at the entire body of work of the two teams, I'm not sure why we were as confident as we were. Carolina's offense would finish, 11th or 12th in most major categories in the SEC. And the defense was decent but uneven throughout the year. And meanwhile, Clemson continued to be an elite team nationally and was just loaded with talent across the board. We were honestly no match on paper for these guys. And Jake Bentley once again had an awful showing against the Tigers, throwing a pick six for Clemson's first score. And he threw for only 126 yards on the night. And by the time Hunter Renfrow of Clemson scored on a long touchdown pass early in the third quarter, this game was over. We fortunately avoided the shutout, but it wasn't as close a game. For the second consecutive year, Clemson cruised to a 34-10 victory. They would go on to win the ACC once again, but lose in the national semifinals. Again, bummer for them. So, the Gamecocks finished the regular season with a very respectable 8-4 record, earned a trip to the Outback Bowl to play Michigan. But before all that, Will Muschamp relieved offensive coordinator Kurt Roper of his duties. Roper had drawn the ire of Gamecock fans for the better part of 2 years, and the offense just never could get going under him. You know, there were some tough breaks with the loss of Debo and the loss of Rico Dowdle, but honestly, the play calling was just not good. So Brian McClendon was tabbed to run the offense for the bowl game, which essentially was an audition for him to become the full-time OC. And things sure didn't start well for McClendon and the Gamecocks as they managed only 3 points in the first half against a stout Michigan defense. And the Wolverines were driving up 16-3 with a chance to put the game away when they fumbled on the South Carolina 4-yard line in the third quarter. And even though Michigan would eventually go up 19-3 in the game, that fumble seemed to shift the momentum a little bit. Much like the sequence in the Missouri game, the Gamecocks scored on a Rico Dowdle 17-yard run, picked up a fumble on the next Wolverine possession, and then converted that into a Bentley to Edwards 21-yard touchdown pass. And just like that, the 19-3 had been closed to 19-16. On USC's next possession, Bentley hit Shai Smith on a 53-yard touchdown. Smith got behind the defense and just burned him up. And the comeback was complete. We would add a field goal, and the defense would keep Michigan's offense at bay, and we walked away with a 26-19 Outback Bowl win and a 9-4 season. A little bit later, Brian McClendon was indeed given the offensive coordinator job, and he will have that heading into 2018. So, another 3-win improvement for Will Muschamp at South Carolina, and the Gamecocks were feeling good about things. As I record this less than 1 week before the start of the 2018 season, I can tell you a lot of people have pegged the Gamecocks as a sleeper in the East, and expectations are certainly high with the return of Debo Samuel and a lot of other offensive weapons and the belief that Muschamp will field another solid defense. I'm personally cautiously optimistic, but my question is how much can the Gamecocks reasonably improve from that 11th or 12th place finish in total offense in the SEC? Can Jake Bentley become an elite SEC quarterback right now? He's not mentioned among that group of Tua at Alabama and Drew Locke and a couple of these other guys in the SEC. Jared Stidham is one. So Bentley is typically not brought up when you're talking about the best quarterbacks in the SEC, but we feel like he can probably get there. And we're about to find out. And after it's all over, I will tell you all about it on the 2018 Gamecock Flashback. In the meantime, that will do it for the 2017 Gamecock Flashback. I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, and I will talk to you next time. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Tell them be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down.